Good evening. If you like, you can turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13. That's where most of, nearly the entirety of my lesson will come from tonight. I'd like to thank the elders before I get started for letting me speak tonight. And a little bit of backstory of how I got stuck into this. I think I had a sermon at Bible camp that I went to about a month back or so, and I was in charge of working at minicamp that week as well, and me being a procrastinator, I didn't do the lesson until the night before that I left for minicamp. So I had a couple days, and I sent it to the preacher, and I was like, "Hey, can you read over this? I wrote it in about 2 hours. Can you check it, make sure I did everything right?" And sure enough, I figured out that there was 5 Sundays this month, so the young men are in charge of everything. And a couple of weeks later, I got asked, said, "Hey, the preacher said you got something nice prepared. You going to speak for us?" And I was like, "Well, I guess I will." So as we get started, I want us to think for a minute. So from the beginning of time, from when God created Adam and Eve, God has only wanted one thing from man. It wasn't to build monuments or to do great feats and perform elaborate rituals, but he asked for one thing, and that thing was obedience. The times change, societies will evolve, we'll grow in knowledge, and we'll grow in our relationships with God, but nothing ever changes the fact that God, above all else, wants obedience to his word. In the Old Testament, God promised the people of Israel protection, blessings, land, and eventually a Messiah, but he required them to respond to him in faith in order to get to gain and keep these. That faith was expressed in obedience to his moral and ritual laws. In the age that we live in now, we're not required to keep these same old laws, but God has still promised us things in which we have to respond with obedience to gain, like forgiveness, righteousness, hope of eternal life, insight into truth, and power to overcome sin. So in this same ways, God is still requiring obedience today. So the times and the circumstances will keep changing, but God is never going to change that he wants us to obey. And so tonight I want to discuss with you what we are to obey and how we are to obey it. And I think Deuteronomy chapter 13 provides us all the answers we need to this. So Deuteronomy is a book that records what Moses said to the people of Israel as they were preparing to enter the Promised Land. Their greatest dangers were not going to be foreign armies or a hostile environment, because God promised, "Hey, I'll take care of that for you." The only thing they had to worry about was losing their faith, and that would mean that they would lose God's protection and blessing. So he warns them in these verses how to guard their faith in the face of idols and foreign gods. And so we'll start in chapter 13, verse 1. And my first point is that the word is more accurate than signs or wonders. So it says, "If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, 'Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them,' you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst." So God tells them, hey, even if a sign or wonder, a prophecy comes true, if the substance of what is being said there or what is being done contradicts the word of God, that miracle and that prophet are to be rejected. We see today all these people who claim to do these miracles, or they had a vision. And they get paid millions of dollars to be on TV and express all these things. And we're always, as people, as humans, we're we're always kind of drawn to these little flashy displays and signs. But God is saying here that His word is the final judge of what is true and what is not. You know, we shouldn't accept that just because it's flashy and that's what we like to see. He's saying that we're supposed to reject that because it's following idolatry. So my second point is the word must prevail over peer pressure. Let's start in verse 6 where it says, "If your brother, the son of your mother, your son or your daughter, the wife of your bosom or your friend who is as your own soul secretly entices you, saying, 'Let us go and serve other gods which you have not known, neither you nor your fathers, of the gods of the people which are all around you, near to you or far off from you, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, you shall not consent to him or listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him or conceal him, but you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. And you shall stone him with stones until he dies, because he sought to entice you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So all Israel shall hear and fear, and not again do such wickedness as this among you." Loyalty to tradition or family is always a good thing. You know, I especially think it down south it's valued quite a bit, but in this passage God is saying, hey, I don't care if it's your family or not, if they're enticing you to go away from me. You know, he's not commanding us today to kill him, but you know, we're supposed to reject them. He again goes to this point where if they're against me, you should be against them. You shouldn't follow them. Obedience to the word of God should always override our own emotions. This is not easy, especially when loved ones are involved. But what advantage is it to them or us if we follow them and we're both disobeying God's word? We lose our souls and we cause them to lose theirs as well. There's no benefit in it for anybody. So my third point is the word is more sure than human movements or causes. Let's start in verse 12. "If you hear someone in your city, in one of your cities, which the Lord your God gives you to dwell in, saying, 'Corrupt men have gone out from among you and entice the inhabitants of their city, saying, Let us go and serve other gods which you have not known,' then you shall inquire, search out, and ask diligently. And if it is indeed true and certain that such abomination was committed among you, you shall surely strike the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying it, all that is in it, and its livestock with the edge of the sword. And you shall gather all its plunder into the middle of the street, and completely burn with fire the city and all its plunder for the Lord your God. It shall be a heap forever. It shall not be built again. So none of the accursed things shall remain in your hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger and show you mercy, have compassion on you, and multiply you, just as he swore to your fathers. Because you have listened to the voice of the Lord your God to keep all his commandments, which I command you today, to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord your God." So a little bit of background. So the Jews in this time were like a safeguard to purity of the land. They were commanded here to strike down and destroy any source of movement that would lead the children of Israel into disobedience. So men who were beginning this movement into idolatry, which he's talking about here, were to be sought out and stopped immediately. It says to burn their city. Obviously it's very serious if you're supposed to burn their entire city. From the very beginning until now and until the day that Jesus comes back, the word of God is what we are to obey regardless of signs, pressures, or movements we face. We also read this in the New Testament in the book of John in chapter 12 and verses 46 through 48 where it says, "I have come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke will judge him as the last days." So we see here that that Jesus is saying that that the word that he speaks is what he's going to judge us by. You know, it doesn't matter what this, what these other people are, or what these other movements are saying to you. The word that God, that Jesus has said, will be the end judge. It doesn't really matter what everybody else thinks about you. So how are we to obey these things, you might be thinking. So God provides his word to guide, protect, and build us up, and he requires that we obey it. In his word, he also outlines for us how we are to obey his word. In other words, there is a quality of obedience that we should aspire to be in, order to please and show our love to God. The spirit of obedience is explained in various passages, and I'm going to continue my theme of just using the book of Deuteronomy for all of these. So in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. I think one thing, you know, to obey the word of God, you know, we're not supposed to add or subtract from God's word. It also says this in the New Testament. I won't guess that verse because I think I might get it wrong. But the word and only the word is to be our guide. So the restoration in the New Testament church is not a man-made idea, which is so often that we hear that the church was man-made. That's not biblical. It is a Bible idea. It's not man-made. That is why it is good. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "So keep and do them, for that is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people who will hear all these statutes and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.'" So obedience in God's sight involves reliance on revealed truth, not human logic. We are growing in spiritual maturity and insight when we understand this principle. In verses 7 and 8 in that chapter, it says, "For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God whenever we call on him? Or what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as the whole law which I am setting before you today?" We should be eager to obey the word because of its intrinsic value as divine inspiration. It is our spiritual treasure, and not to be seen as a yoke or something that keeps us from doing what we really want to do. Our obedience should have eagerness to it. What we really should want to do is obey the word, because there's nothing like it in this world. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verses 4 through 9, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." So proper obedience to God requires that we spread the word of God to others, especially family, as we read in here. We obey by teaching others to obey. We haven't fully obeyed until we preach the word of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6, it says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." So obedience should be such that our conduct is superior to others. We shouldn't act like the rest of the world. We ought not to be hypocrites, but if we obey the word, our thoughts and actions will be holier and more righteous than others, and we should not be embarrassed or proud of it. It's normal. Obedience is seen in our holy living. My last verse tonight is Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1, which says, "All commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. So God promises that true obedience to his word will result in blessings for these people. His method and promises have not changed. If we know and we carefully follow his word and only his word, we too will continue as his people. So tonight I want us to leave convinced and convicted of three things. Number one, obeying God's word is the most important thing we can do with our lives. It is the beginning of our spiritual life and our guarantee to eternal life. Number two, God's word is the final judge of what is right and true and pleasing to the word to the Lord. Number three, no matter how old, how young or old, we need to make greater efforts to learn and obey the word as well as teach it to others. So tonight, if you haven't obeyed the word of God, there's no better opportunity to do it than tonight. We obey the word of God by first hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17, confessing his name before men, Matthew 10:32-33, and James 5:16, repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, and Acts 17:30, and being baptized in water for the remission of your sins, 1 Peter 3:21, Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16. Among other verses that we can use there. If you haven't done these things, there's no better time than tonight to obey God. And maybe you haven't been living the way that you should be. God also provides a way for you to fix that. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, he is faithful and just to forgive if we confess our sins to one another. So if you haven't done these things or you have a need to respond to the invitation, please come as we stand to sing. There's a message.